This Shabbos is going to have the honor and privilege of learning Parshas Bo together. And of course, Parshas Bo begins with Moshe Rabbeinu being told by God to go ahead and speak to Paro. And he's told, the fact is that the point of the Makos is Leman Tisaper Be'ozni Bincho Ben Bincho, so that you will speak in the ears of your children and grandchildren, Bidatim Kiani Hashem, and then you'll come to the understanding that I'm Hashem. So Rav Givter Zatzal noted that when we have a mitzvah to read a section of the Torah, it is in essence a mitzvah of Limud HaTorah with a specific request to recall it specifically. So that it's a general Torah rule, but this part of the Torah, we have a special mitzvah to go ahead and take into detail. And that's why there's no specific bracha on, for instance, the mitzvah to read Shema, because it is, at its core, a mitzvah of Torah study. And the same is true for the mitzvah of Haggadah, or the telling of the story. It also is, at its core, a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It happens to have a specific bend of placing it in the ears of the children and grandchildren and subsequent generations. And so therefore you'll notice in the Pesach Seder that we have no specific bracha at the beginning of the mitzvah of Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so the first thought from Rav Givter is this understanding of speaking to the next generations. And of course that gives rise to a dialogue that happens not too long later in the Parsha, where in the context of telling the people that there's going to be a Makkah of Arba, the people get nervous and they turn to Paro and say, let the people go ahead, let these Jews go out and serve their God for their 3 days. So Paro brings back, Paro has Moshe and Aaron brought back to him. And he says, "Mi v'mi haholichim? Who are the ones who are going to travel?" Now, Paro asked these same questions once before, actually. An earlier Pharaoh had asked these questions once before when Yaakov Avinu had died and the family went to bury him. But back then, the Jews left their children and left their sheep in Goshen. So it would seem that the same should have been expected this time as well, no? So Rav Avigdor Nevensal Shalita explained that when it comes to Avelus, there is no chinuch for ketanim. When it comes to Avelus, there is no preparatory step, so there was no need to bring them up to go to see the Avelus. However, when it comes to a chag, which is what was experienced over here, there's no question that the children had to learn about it. They had to be involved in the process. And so therefore, of course, it's been Arenu vizkeinenu nelech. We have to make sure our children get the full Jewish experience. And if we don't, we are cheating them out of the process. We need to encourage. Anyway, we go through the Makos of Choshech, and Makos Bachoros is identified, but before it actually happens, the Jews start to identify as a nation. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe and Aaron, and he says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chadashim. This month is going to be the first of all months, the very first mitzvah given to the Jewish people as a whole. And Rashi notes that Nisan is the first of all months. Now, why is that so important for us to identify? So Moshe Feinstein Zatzal explained that there are two levels of emunah, two levels of belief that a person needs to have. The first is that Hashem created the world, and many already believe in that, as after all, it is Zeichel Amaseh Bereishis, this is the message of Shabbos. But there's a deeper level of belief, and that is that Hashem hasn't left His people. And that belief was made clear when Hashem took us out of Egypt and performed countless miracles for Bnei Israel. And this is a critical message. And it happened right there at the beginning in Nisan. And so therefore, that becomes the first of the months. When we go through something that sets the core for all subsequent experiences, it becomes Rishon Hu. It becomes the very first of the messages that has to be given. We're told, Kacha sochluos, tochluoso, masnechem chagurim na lechem beraglechem. Your shoes on your feet, that's how you should go ahead. Umakelchem biyetchem, and of course, your sticks should be in your hands. Now, while sticks belong in your hands, we don't put shoes on our feet. We put our feet into our shoes. Isn't it? And so therefore, why isn't it raglechem binna alechem? Why the stress on the shoes? So Rabbi Bernard Weinberger Zatzal noted that there are three times that we are told to remove shoes. On Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av, and as part of the Avelus process. And each time, the removal of the shoes is not only about the shoes themselves, but it's also a process of recognizing a major change in one's status. And the same thing is true over here. The shoes were not only for the chippazon, but rather also contained a message of awareness of the change in status that the people were about to experience as they would leave Mitzrayim. And so therefore, to contain that awareness and the change in status, that we are told that they were told, Shal na'alacha, take off the shoes. We're told, V'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim, we're told that I will pass over Mitzrayim on this night. And in the Haggadah, we note the praise that Hashem passed over Mitzrayim, ani v'lo malach. Now, why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim and not rely on his own messengers? Go ahead, so your messengers do come to that recognition. So, Mori V'Rabbi Roshechter cited the Ari HaKadosh, who commented that the Tumah of the land of Mitzrayim was so strong that Hashem was afraid that even if he sent a malach, it wouldn't be able to withstand the Tumah and wouldn't be able to succeed in its mission. And Rav Shechter added that many times in our lives, we're faced with decisions that can lead to sakana. Sometimes it's physical, but even more so spiritual sakana. And we don't take those times into account. We don't take those sakanas into account. But, Rav Shechter told us, a person needs to give thought to the people he's going to associate with and the place that he or she is going to wind up in order to determine if there's a danger there. We should consider the end results of our decisions, said Rav Shechter, and prepare accordingly. Afterwards, we're told, Vayikra Moshe l'chol zeknei Yisrael, Vayomer aleihem mishchu k'chu. Moshe Rabbeinu calls the zekanim together and tells them to go forth and take l'mishpachoseich and v'shachatu ha-pesach, take lambs for yourselves and shech the carbon pesach. Now, why is this mitzvah done specifically to the Zekanim? Why are the Zekanim charged with the mitzvah? Why isn't he told, Davir kol Adas b'nei Yisrael, to go speak to the entire Adas Israel? So also, it seems that while Hashem told Moshe to have the people put the blood on their doorposts, Moshe adds the Ezov, that he should be the one to use the Ezov. And why did he do so? So the late great Rabbi Reuven Bokov Zatzal, the great Rav of Ottawa, Canada, explained that if the focus was merely placed on the nation, then the people would think that it's just a folly of youth. Okay, we'll run, we'll grab some sheep. But having the lead taken by the elders demonstrated the seriousness of the project. If those with limited energy spend their energy on this practice, it must be an important practice. And that's also why the Ezov was introduced. It was there to remind the people that none of them was too important to be involved in the Karban Pesach. A lack of ego and an abundance of sagely advice, it has the ability to lead to Geula, just like it did way back when. And we're told, V'hayaki savo al aretz, it will be when you come into the land, you will do this service. And then the pasuk continues to say, V'hayaki avru aleichem b'neichem ma'avodah zoslachem. We're told that when your children will ask, will get into the situation, and they'll ask, what is this service to you? Rashi notes that this is a besorah tova about the Geula, that it's good news about Geula and about the fact that they were going to inherit the land. But what is the point of good news since it's wasted being told to the Russia child? After all, this question, Ma'avodah Zoslachem, is associated to the skeptic, to the Russia. So Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal explained that from the second year that the Jews were in the desert until they got into the land, we know they didn't offer a Karban Pesach. And so therefore, at the point of entering the land, V'ayaki savo al aretz, it would make sense that after 38 years of having no karban, and the question of what is this service you're doing, ma'avodah zoslachem, at that point in time, that question would be appropriate. But in the second year, right after the redemption, when they had experienced Karban Pesach 1 year earlier, then it's a question that only a Russia asks. What do you mean, ma'avodah zos? Did you forget what happened last year? And that becomes the basis and the change. It really is always dependent upon the context. Finally, in the Haftorah, which comes from Yirmiyahu, we're told, Madua nischaf abirecha, why have your mighty ones been swept away? The Dibne Magid Zatzal notes that when something is pushed away, part of what determines how far away it'll wind up is dependent on the force that's used to push it. The push of a weak person doesn't move things as far as the shove of someone strong. And this was the intent of Yirmiyahu's question here. Who's the force pushing the Jews away at the present time? How does it continue to make the distance between Hashem and us so expansive? And so Yirmiyahu answers that it's Hashem himself, ki Hashem adafo. Hashem himself was the one who has done the pushing, which causes the distance to be vast as the force was quite strong. And we continue to be pushed and pushed farther and farther apart. But Be'ezras Hashem, there'll be a boomerang effect, my dear friends. And if we can take that into account and we can look for the boomerang, then that which has been pushed away can bring us back, and Be'ezras Hashem bring us not only to the Geula of the past, but using that as a model to bring us to the Geula HaAsida. Shabbat Shalom to all.